Let's all stand today, and let's go in our Bibles, if we can, to Luke chapter 19, and we're going to start reading at verse 41. If you bought a Bible, you can just turn there, Luke 19 and 41, and we are picking up in the very next verse from where we left off last time. We're picking up in the very next verse. And we're going to read from verse 41 down to verse 48. So if you will help me to preach this, I would appreciate it. But hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord today. And before I say this, I'm going to read about this. We're talking about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and this is it. He's in Jerusalem now, or he's coming into Jerusalem. And what we're going to read here about Jesus weeping over the city is only found in the Gospel of Luke. What we're going to read here is only found in the Gospel of Luke. You can find other places in Matthew and Mark where Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you know, thou that stonest the prophets." And he's emotional. But as far as his final entry into Jerusalem, Luke is the only one that records this. So let's see what Luke had to say here. Let's just see what Luke had to say. "And when he drew near and saw the city," imagine Jesus, he's coming into Jerusalem for the last time. He's going to be crucified. And it says, and you know, and what we read last time is that people had laid their cloaks in the road and they were waving palms saying, you know, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." Their crowd was cheering him. And it says, "And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side.'" He's talking to Jerusalem. "And tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you." Why? Well, let's see. "Because you did not know the time of your visitation." And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you've made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. So if I can today, we only sang two songs instead of three. A lot of times we do three, and this is... did a little less. I'm going to preach on this subject, not missing, or should I say missing the day, missing their day of visit. Israel missed their day of visit from God, and I don't want to miss mine, and I don't want us to. So we're going to go to the Lord here and pray in just a moment. Before we pray, Brother Bill, do we have anybody online with us today? The Shields family, yes. And so greetings to Brother and Sister Shields and Michaela and Pamela. They were exposed to COVID, and so they wanted to not come. And nobody's came down with COVID, but they have been exposed. So, amen. Let's all pray, though. Let's all pray. God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor. Lord, there's none like you, Lord. Not in all the heaven, not in all the earth, Lord. There's none that we could liken you unto. There's none that you're equal with, Lord. You alone are God, and there is none else, Lord. And God, open our minds, open our hearts, open our eyes, Lord, to your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated today. So this is this final entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. In just a very short time, he's going to be hanging on a cross. And if I got this in my head right, this would be, he entered into Jerusalem on a Sunday. Okay? And so, and then was crucified the following Friday. So this is the final week of Jesus' earthly ministry before his crucifixion. And like I said, only Luke records him weeping over Jerusalem when he came in at that final time. Matthew talks about this. Mark talks about this. But only Luke goes into the detail that Jesus, when he drew near the city, that he wept over it. And I want to tell you something. There's a bit of an irony, something that is ironic. An irony about this verse is that the crowds, if you read in the previous verses, what were the crowds doing? They were cheering. They were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And they are cheering and they are celebrating. But while they are shouting and while they are celebrating, Jesus is weeping. Kind of an interesting irony, kind of an interesting contrast there. And if you look even at that weeping, you know, I don't know how you cry, and I don't like crying. I've cried enough. Okay. If I don't cry today, is that all right? I've cried enough the last 10 days. I'm tired of crying. But you know, some people, when they cry, you know, they can just sit there and just be so, I don't want to say so dignified, but so composed, and just tears just, you know, drip down their cheeks as they just cry softly. Well, if you look at the Greek word here that was translated here, it says that he wept over it. I want to read you right out of Lewin Nida's lexicon for this Greek word, what it says. It says, where it says that Jesus wept over the city, and it says to weep or wail, with emphasis upon the noise accompanying the weeping. In other words, this word in the Greek is not to just sit there in silence with tears draining down your cheeks. No, this kind of weeping is with emphasis upon the noise that is accompanying the weeping. In other words, he was wailing. This was not just a little teary event. No, Jesus was openly crying and lamenting. Amen. And then he said there in verse 42, he said, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they're hidden from your eyes. And you say, what was Jesus saying? What was Jesus talking about? Well, he was riding into Jerusalem for the final time, but he wasn't going to be accepted. He was going to be rejected. And here's the irony here. I talked about the irony in the previous verse. Well, can I tell you another irony here? He said, if only you would have known the things that belong, if only you would have known the things that make for what? Well, here's the irony. Jerusalem, think of it here in a second. Does anybody know how to use, what's the Hebrew word for peace? Shalom. And if you'll, Bill, give me that verse out of Hebrews. If you'll remember, the writer in Hebrews, he was telling the story about Melchizedek back in the book of Genesis. And it says that Abraham went out and met Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. Verse 2, it says, and to him Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. In other words, he paid tithes. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. And then he is also King of what? That is King of. So when you say Jerusalem, you notice this Salem right here means peace. Jerusalem. So the irony of this passage here is that you have got Jerusalem, the city of peace, the city of peace. And Jesus was telling them, there ain't going to be no peace here. Because listen, folks, if you reject Jesus, there's not going to be any peace in your life. If you reject Jesus, like the Jews rejected him and put him on a cross, there's not going to be any peace in your life. This was the city of peace, but the city of peace did not know what it was that they needed to have that peace. You hear what I'm saying? There's a corny bumper sticker, and no, I'm not going to get it, and I'm not going to put it on my car. But there's a corny bumper sticker that says, N-O, no Jesus, no peace. In other words, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have peace. No Jesus, no peace. And then right under that, it says, no K-N-O-W, no Jesus, and you will know, K-N-O-W, peace. So you don't have Jesus, you don't have peace. But if you know Jesus, you are going to know peace. And so here is Messiah, amen, riding in on the back of a donkey into the city of peace. Riding into the city of peace, telling them, listen, if you don't have me, you don't have peace. And then in the next verse, verse 43, he tells them how they're not going to have peace. He says, the days are going to come upon you when your enemies are going to set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. Can anybody tell me what Jesus is referring to? The destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Jesus is prophesying and predicting the destruction that occurred 40 years later, almost to the day of right here, almost to the day 40 years later, when the Romans came into Jerusalem and destroyed the temple and sacked the entire city. And he said here in verse 43, your enemies are going to set up barricades all around you and they're going to surround you on every side. And believe it or not, there are some liberal, when I say liberal, I mean guys that don't really believe in, they say they believe in the Bible, but they don't really believe in the Bible. You know what I mean? They call themselves Bible scholars, but they don't believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. Some of the liberal scholars, if I can use that word loosely here, say that this right here was actually added to the text at a later time. That Luke never wrote this, and it was added to the text at a later time, and that it was added after the destruction of Jerusalem. And so the liberal scholars, and there are several of them that hold to this belief, that this was added later on, have been asked, well, what is the evidence? What evidence do you have that this text was added later on? Because all of the early manuscripts have this passage. You know, all of the early manuscripts have this passage. So what is your evidence that this was added on later on? And they said, well, it has to be. Well, why? Well, because it's too accurate. Seriously. They say it's too accurate. They say what happened here, where it says they will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in. Let me tell you something. Vespasian was the Roman emperor. Vespasian sent his son Titus over there. And what Titus did to conquer Jerusalem is surround the city because they had food supplies going into that city. And what they said is, you know what? The way we're going to sack Jerusalem is we're going to surround and we're going to build a barricade and we're going to cut off all of the food supply chains. There were no foods going into Jerusalem. And the liberal scholars say, man, that had to be added later because it's just too accurate. Well, you can make up your own mind. I think I know what we all believe on that. It is the Word of God. It was the Word of Jesus. The words of Jesus, and yes, Jesus does know the beginning from the end. And yes, he could see into the future, and he could tell exactly what was going to happen. Then if you look down in verse 44, it says, and they're going to tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another. And you know the story, how in Matthew 24, they took Jesus to the temple and Jesus told them, he said, I say unto you, there won't be one less stone left standing on top of another. That happened just like that. And Jesus talked about all of these horrible things that were going to come upon Jerusalem. And if you look here at the end of this verse, you say, well, why was all these bad, the barricades and tearing the city down and not one stone left standing on top of another. Why? Look at this. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. Because you did not know the time that your Messiah was there, man. Your Messiah that all of the prophets had prophesied about down through the ages, amen. All the way back in the book of Genesis, amen. There was prophecies about that there would be a day that a Messiah would come. In fact, the Bible in the book of Acts, and I didn't give you this verse. You don't have it in your notes. Don't worry about it. But Acts chapter 10 and verse 43 says, to him, to Jesus, all the prophets, not some of the prophets, not most of the prophets, but to him, all of the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So here is the Messiah that all prophets, that whether it be Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Amos, whether it be whoever, Zephaniah and Zechariah or Nahum, any of those, all of the prophets, Elijah, Elisha, all of them bore witness that there would be a Messiah. And there was Messiah on the back of a donkey, just like it had been prophesied that he would do. And he was riding into Jerusalem. This was, Jesus was the second man, Adam, that was going to come and restore the creation from its fallen state that the first man, Adam, had caused by his disobedience. The one coming through the gates of Jerusalem that day on the donkey was the better Moses. He was the better Joshua. He was the better David. What did Jesus do right before he came into Jerusalem? He stopped, and what did he do? He wept. Who was the weeping prophet in the Old Testament? Anybody remember? Sister Carmen, it's Jeremiah. Sister Carmen, Jesus rode in that day as the better Jeremiah. You understand me? This was their visitation. This was the time of their visitation. And he said, all of these things are going to come on you. And one of the reasons why is because you did not know the day of your visitation. You know what? I want to tell you something. When God calls me, I want to answer. You hear me? If God calls me out of darkness, friend, I want to get out of darkness. It's not, you know, God's got to call you. God's got to draw you. And when that opportunity arises, when you get to where you're having that visitation, you know what? I don't want to lose that. You can look at Mark chapter 10. Very familiar story, verse 46. It says that they came to Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, There was a man by the name of blind Bartimaeus, a beggar. He was sitting on the roadside. Whose visitation was it that day? Whose visitation was it that day? It was Bartimaeus's. It was blind Bartimaeus's day of visitation. And he was sitting on the roadside. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked Bartimaeus, telling him basically to shut up. And he cried out all the more because you know why? He didn't want to miss the day of his visitation. Jesus is coming by. I've got an opportunity to talk to the Master. I've got an opportunity to have Jesus is nearby. I don't want to lose this chance. And when they told him to shut up, it says he cried out all the more, "Oh, son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Get that guy and have him come over here." And he said, take heart, get up. He's calling you. And you know how he got healed. You know, you can go to Mark chapter 2. And there were four guys. And they had a friend. I don't know if it was a friend or a relative that was a paralytic. In other words, he couldn't walk. And they put him on a stretcher and they carried him to a house that Jesus was teaching in. And they got to the house and the house was completely full. And they wanted to get in and so Jesus could pray for this man and heal him. They couldn't get in the door. They could not get to Jesus. It was going to be an opportunity that they were going to lose. Here was their chance to have their friend or relative, whoever, whatever the relation was, to have him healed. But they could not get near to Jesus. And it says in verse 3 or verse 4, it says, when they could not get near him because of the crowd, what did they do? They went up and tore the roof off and lowered him down through the roof. Why? This was a day of visitation that whatever you've got to do, whatever you've got to do to make this thing work, whatever you've got to do, make it happen. Because this is the day of visitation. You know, the only thing about this story that I'm kind of a practical sort, okay? I'm kind of a practical sort. Everybody loves this story. Everybody's inspired about this story. But guess who would not have been that inspired about this story? The guy that owned the house, Brian. I mean, to say, man, this is great. Hey, dude, this is great. But man, now, what about my roof, man? You know, what about my roof? But they weren't going to miss their opportunity. Jesus told them. He says, there's going to come a day that they're going to surround the city of Jerusalem and they're going to put up a barricade and they're going to cut you off and your children off and everything off. Why? Because you did not know the day of your visitation. If you look at way back in the book of Genesis, I'll tell you what. There was Jacob and Esau. And I'm going to tell you, if you've read about Jacob in the book of Genesis, Brian, let's just put it this way. There's a few of my relatives on my wife's side of the family, that when you're around them, you take your wallet out of your back pocket and put it in your front pocket. I'll come back next week and the other eye is going to be messed up now. But I think we've all got some of those relatives that when you're around them, you love them, but you put that wallet in the front pocket, not the back pocket. And that's the way Jacob was. Jacob was a deceiver. Jacob was a supplanter. Even his name meant deceiver. Even his name went to see. But you know what? He got to the place in his life. You know, he had a brother by the name of Esau that was coming to get him, and he knew it. If you read this story, Esau was on his way to come to Jacob, and he wasn't coming to tell Jacob, "Hey, it's great to see you." You don't saddle up your camel with 400 guys just to come and say hi. You do that when you're getting ready for a rumble. Jacob, it was now or never. And it said that there appeared unto him, it's like a man, but it was an angel. And if you really read the story, it wasn't just an angel. It was the angel of the Lord. It was the Lord God Almighty himself. My opinion. And it says, a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket and Jacob's hip was put out of joint and he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, no, I'm not going to miss my day of visitation. You've came down. I've got my hands on you. And he says, I will not let you go until you bless me. God, I've got a brother that's coming in tomorrow with blood in his eye, and everybody's going to be dead. Not just me, but everybody's going to be dead. God, I've got to have some deliverance here. I've got to have some help here. I've got your attention right now. God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Church, let's be thankful that we've got God in our midst. Let's be thankful. I don't ever want to take this for granted. I don't know about you, but I can, right now, I'm not some super spiritual person, but I can feel the presence of God here right now. I feel a goodness, amen. I feel a wholeness. I feel a peace here right now. I want to tell you something. I don't use four-letter words. But can I say this? This last 10 days have been hell for me and my wife. Our marriage did great. We got along great, but it's been rough. And you know what? Right now, I feel like I'm in a city of refuge. I'm in a peaceful place right now. I don't want to ever take the peace that I feel in this place right now for granted. I don't ever want to miss the day of my visitation. If God comes here to meet with me in a service, oh God, let me get my hands up in the air and let me not take lightly the day of my visitation with him. I don't want to take it lightly. Last verse, let's all stand today. Last verse I'm going to read. Well, let me read one other verse and then I'll go. If you'll remember, in Matthew 15, there was a woman that came to him. And she was a Canaanite woman, not a Jew. And she came and she was crying and she said, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. And what did Jesus do? Ignored her. Think about it. Did you know I've known people that have prayed and they didn't really get the answer that they wanted to their prayer? Well, I guess God just doesn't care. It says, she said, please, Lord, my daughter's grievously vexed by a devil. He ignored her, blew her off. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away. And he answered, this woman wants help, but was she a Jew? Was she of the house of Israel? And he says, you know what, lady? You know what, woman? I know you got a problem with the daughter. There's a lot of people got a problem with their kids. And I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're not a Jew, woman. Therefore, I don't have to help you. But she came, and what did she do? Was she going to take... This was her day of visitation. And she knelt before him and said, Lord, please help me. And he answered, well, I'm going to tell you what. Jesus being God manifest in the flesh can get away with things that I'd get hung for if I said. She said, please help me. Look at his answer. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. What's he doing? What's he calling her? A dog. And here's what happens. This is the attitude that I love in this woman. She immediately catches on and says, oh, okay, I get it. You're wanting me to humble myself? You're wanting me to humble myself? Okay, fine. Jesus, I humble myself before you. Yes, I am a dog. But Lord, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs from the master's table. And to me, verse 27 is so beautiful. Or verse 28 is so beautiful. If you look in verse 27, she calls herself a what? A dog. In verse 28, Jesus answered her and basically told her, if I can paraphrase, woman, you're no dog. You're a woman. Oh, not oh dog, but oh woman. Great is your faith. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. She didn't miss her day of visitation. Blind Bartimaeus did not miss his day of visitation. I don't want to miss my day of visitation. If you'll remember, Samuel was laying there in the temple. If you read the story, it sounds like he was sleeping right in there in the temple just to make sure that light didn't go out. And the Lord spoke to him. And Samuel. Samuel. And if you read the story, at first Samuel didn't know what was going on. He thought it was Eli. But when he figured it out, he laid there. And when God spoke to him out of the darkness and said, Samuel. Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Lord, I'm listening to you right now. Lord, I don't want to miss my day of visitation. Lord, if you're here, if you're speaking, then God, I'm all ears. That's what we need to have, church. That's the attitude we need to have. Let's don't miss our day of visitation. The Lord is here right now. Let's lift up our hands and worship the Lord. God, I love you, Jesus. God, I praise you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's worship you. Oh, God, I love you, Lord. God, I praise you, Jesus. I don't want to miss the day of my visitation. God, you're here. You're here. Your presence is here right now. God, I don't want to take it loosely. I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want to just be so happenstance about this. God, you're here. And I don't want to miss the day of my visitation. God, in Jesus' name, Lord. God, in Jesus' name. We're going to pray in a moment. And I don't want to, it seems like I have this uncanny talent of always ending a service on either a carnal note or a depressing note. Can I tell you a sad story? My nephew, the one that died. Do you know, about a year ago, he contacted me on Facebook and he said, Uncle Tim, I got some questions I'd like to ask you about the Bible. And I told him, sure, Chucky. And I started reaching out to him on Facebook. About every month or two, I would reach out to him on Facebook. Hey, how's it going? Just want to check in with you. How's it going with your family? Is there anything what can I? And so this last year, I've been checking in on Chucky fairly regularly. And me and him would talk. And so I don't feel guilty. I think I reached out to him. I don't feel guilty about anything. But can I tell you, the Saturday before he died, me and Sister Wiggins came out of a restaurant and I walked over to the truck And I got over there and I found a Willys Jeep, an old Willys Jeep. Brian, you know what those are. Brian, my nephew loved those old Willys Jeeps. Me and Sister Wiggins came out of the restaurant, and guess what was parked right beside my truck? I turned and I told Sister Wiggins, I said, "It's about time for me to reach out to Chucky again. I'm taking a photo of this Jeep, and I'm going to get home, and I'm going to send this to Chucky and just check in with him." Brian, I got home and I got busy. And I didn't get it sent. And I was going to send it the following Monday. Busy, busy, busy. And after that, it was too late. I would never be able to send him a message. Folks, we've got an open door to God. We've got an opportunity in the time that we have on this earth. Let's do everything we can. And let's not miss our moment with God. Let's worship the Lord again today. God, I praise you, Lord. God, in Jesus' name, Lord. God, I worship you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I worship you. Lord, I praise you, God. Oh, in Jesus' name. God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. If you want to stay there, or if you want to come down front, I know we're in the middle of a big spike with COVID, whatever you're comfortable with. But let's spend a few moments, whether it be there or down here, just seeking God. And Sister Wiggins will sing a little something, and let's just spend a few moments just seeking the Lord.
Jesus, falling in love.
Let's worship the Lord today. God, I love you, Lord. God, I praise you, Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I don't want to ever miss my day of visitation with the Lord.